This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. We have a mix of sun and clouds in Chicagoland throughout the day, but it's going to be warm, slowly but surely getting warmer as we head to a high of 78, overnight a low of 62, and then tomorrow we'll have some showers moving through the area and not as warm, a high tomorrow of just 68 degrees. By the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, we will be in the 80s. Right now, 69 at O'Hare, 68 at Midway, 67 along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update from Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we have gains of about 1% or more for the main averages. The Dow up 310 points. NASDAQ advancing 105 or 1.3%. S&P up 26. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining more than 1%. On upbeat news on trade and monetary policy, President Trump tweeted that he will meet with China's president next week. And the head of the European Central Bank says it's ready with stimulus if needed. Not quite the gains we saw earlier. That might have something to do with the fact that President Trump not just talking about firing Fed Chair Jay Powell. Bloomberg has learned the White House went a step further. In February, soon after those comments, sources say the White House explored whether it would be legal to demote Powell to Fed governor. Such a move would have been unprecedented. It's not known whether Trump ordered the legal review or what the analysts concluded. A Fed spokeswoman says under the law, a chair can only be removed for cause. And it's a big step forward for Boeing after the grounding of its 737 MAX after two fatal crashes. Boeing has announced that British Airways is buying $24 billion worth of the passengers' jets. Boeing shares are much higher. Back to you, Cisco.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we will talk trade and the economy, especially now as President Trump says he will meet with China's leader. Boeing considers changing the name of its embattled 737 MAX. Travel Tuesday, some illness and deaths in the Dominican Republic. Is there a reason to be concerned about traveling there? All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There is an update on the future of a famous Chicago hot dog stand. It's known for late night hours and insults. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, President Trump says he'll be meeting with his Chinese counterpart at the upcoming G20 summit. While a two-day meeting of the Fed is underway, what might happen to interest rates? To talk about it, we are joined by Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, political economist at andrewbush.com. Andy, thanks for being with us. Let's begin with President Trump saying he will meet with China's premier. Is that in any way news maybe cautiously optimistic here?
Yeah, I think so. And on top of it, they had a phone call between the two leaders. Obviously, they are trying to find common ground to move away from this trade war, which has escalated and escalated and escalated. So this is good news for the markets. And what I've been saying to clients for some time is the president can change his mind on where he goes with this at any time. So when you think things are really bad, just remember that he has a vested interest in having something positive come out of this because, of course, there's an election coming up and his polls, they really don't look very good right now. Joe Biden is beating him by anywhere between 12 to 15 percentage points. So the president needs a win, and this is a big one for the markets and for business.
And so as an investor, boy, it's sort of difficult to know because, as you mentioned, day to day, we just don't know what might happen with this.
That's right. But just keep in the back of your mind, as I always try to move my clients from chaos to confidence, just remember that, again, the president's going to act in the best interest of the country and, of course, his own presidency. So in the best interest of the country, he knows he needs to correct China on a lot of their intellectual property theft, which is they've been something they've been doing for quite some time, along with a lot of other trade issues. From his own skin sense, he needs to win an election, and he's got to have an agreement with the Chinese to end this trade war to make sure that it's just not something that is hurting the economy as we're getting into a slower growth period here.
I guess a two-part question about the Fed as the Fed is meeting and rate cuts. Do you think that given recent data that maybe a rate cut is warranted here? And has the Fed now put itself in a position where if they don't issue a rate cut, that could be a negative thing?
Definitely. So this meeting this week, they're going to lay the groundwork for additional rate cuts maybe down, you know, for the rest of the year. Currently, the market's not pricing in anything for this week, but it's almost like an 85% priced in for a 25 basis point rate cut in overnight interest rates by the end of July. So their next meeting after this one. And then there's two more priced in by the end of January 2020. Now, I think the market's a little ahead of itself here. Jay Powell just recently at the beginning of June said, hey, you know, this trade situation, we're ready to act if the economy slows because of that. So I realize that's good news for most investors, but I would say the Fed's going to watch to see if the data is impacted. And so far, as you know, Cisco, we've had good data on the jobs numbers. Last month was a little weak, but we're still seeing positive things there. So I'm not sure the Fed needs to act even in July, although they're telling us that, I'm a little bit cautious about it.
You know, I've asked several analysts about this, so I'll ask you too. Is there a challenge for the Fed in really telegraphing too far out what it may do? Because inevitably, conditions can change, data can change, world events can change, and then they have to backtrack on what they were letting us know they were thinking of doing.
Yeah, this is really important for people to understand out there. This is the danger that the Fed has. If they really start to let the market know that they're thinking about cutting rates, they absolutely have to follow through on it or they'll lose the market the next time they want to communicate with it. Now, there's a lot of obstacles that are out there. I mean, we've got the whole situation with oil in Iran and the attacks on the tankers out there. I mean, if we saw oil shoot up to like $75, $80 a barrel, you know, the Fed would likely be in the position where they're strengthened in cutting rates in July. But if we don't see much of a reaction and we see the economic data be, you know, pretty benign overall, then they don't really need to act by the end of July. And they certainly don't need to act if the president is moving forward with ending the trade war. So that's what people have got to keep in mind. And I think that's why we're seeing a muted reaction to all of this information out this morning and why we haven't seen S&P up, you know, 1.5 or 2% and holding there.
Great insight. Thank you, Andy. Andrew Bush joining us. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Coming up, fans of an in-your-face food experience on the North Side have reason to celebrate.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago real estate news includes word on a legendary Lincoln Park hot dog stand. Fans really excited about this. Let's get the latest on the Wiener's Circle from Albie Galoon, senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Albie, before you tell us what's going on with Wiener's Circle, a lot of people haven't heard of it. Fans absolutely love it, but a lot of people haven't heard of it. Tell us about this hot dog stand that's much more than a hot dog stand.
Yeah, it is. People go there as much for the insults that the restaurant's employees hurl at employees as they do for the hot dogs. It's, I guess, some Chicago color would be putting it mildly. It's a place where you know, the restaurant employees just hurl invective on their customers, and the customers keep coming back. So it's a successful formula.
Yeah, and it's a late night spot too, right? So you get a lot of people who've been out hanging out, maybe partying, and then they go there because they're hungry at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I've never been there during the day, but I've heard that it's actually a pretty civil place during the day. So, but it kind of transforms into this kind of crazy spot with that attracts a lot of people late night.
Yeah, the hot dogs have to be pretty good for the staff to yell at you, and you keep coming back. So what's the news here?
The hot dogs are the insults, I guess.
Yeah, well, they very well could be, and yet people keep coming. So we have some news here on this management. Tell us what's going on with Wiener Circle.
So the property went up for sale last summer, and the Wiener Circle operated under a lease. So the property was being marketed as a potential development site. And, you know, the idea would be that, you know, a developer would buy it, maybe knock down the restaurant and put an apartment building there, though. But that didn't happen. So The owner of the Wiener Circle restaurant actually bought the property. So, you know, they will now own the land as well as a restaurant, and they plan to keep it there. So it's not going anywhere.
And that really allows for the stability, right? When you own the property, then you're the decider.
Yeah, exactly. There was some speculation that the restaurant would, you know, if you build a development there, you're going to have to, the restaurant would have to relocate somewhere else. But that's not going to happen. So they control their destiny now.
Now, it seems like for a hot dog stand, I mean, to buy a piece of property like that, it's not cheap. Do you think that there are bigger plans maybe to expand the brand or something like that?
Well, yeah, and it was a $1.5 million deal, which, you know, by Lincoln Park standards is really not that much money. But, yeah, you know, the restaurant itself is owned by Ari Levy, who's the son of Larry Levy, the Chicago restaurant mogul. And he didn't talk to us for the story, but in the past he said that he wants to expand the brand. They had a licensing agreement with a restaurant out in Las Vegas, but that restaurant actually closed a couple of years ago. They also have a Wiener Circle out in Rosemont. So we haven't seen much yet in terms of expansion. You know, it's hard to say whether the shtick that they use at the Lincoln Park restaurant will work in other places, but, you know, they definitely bought it back in 2005 with the plans to expand the brand.
Yeah, we'll see, and we'll be watching. Thank you so much. Always good analysis. Albie Galoon, senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday. Mysterious illnesses in the Dominican Republic could impact the tourist trade, and Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of the markets now from Bloomberg. From the IncomeStore.com business desk, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is up 332 points, or 1.25%, in the benchmarks at 26,445. NASDAQ up 110 points, or almost 1.5%. It's at 79.55, so we could see the composite stretch to 8,000 today. The S&P is also on the rise, up 28 points to 29.18. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg higher by more than 1% today, and crude oil futures also gaining up 3% to $53.50. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've been mostly lower during the day. Corn's been down as much as 12. We're presently down 7 at 461.5 in December. Beans have been down 10 to up 8. November's down a penny at the moment at 938.5. And wheat down 12.25 in July at 527.25. Mostly lower across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom.
Travel Tuesday, at least 9 Americans have reportedly died from illnesses recently while on trips to the Dominican Republic. The Federal Reserve is holding its two-day meeting this week. We'll get the perspective of a veteran market observer on the potential impact. The Illinois Department of Public Health clears a hospital from any wrongdoing in the case of a baby cut from his mother's womb. Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan withdraws his nomination for the permanent job. On Wall Street, the Dow up 323 points, the NASDAQ up 111, and the S&P is up 27 points. Oil today is up 3.33%. We're getting more of that beautiful sunshine in Chicagoland. A nice afternoon in store. High of 78 degrees. Right now, 69 O'Hare, 68 Midway, and 67 along Chicago's lakefront. The noon business hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Markets are flying high. We just told you Dow up 322 points. The NASDAQ up almost 1.5%. Let's find out what's going on. Tim Griske is joining us, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Tim, what do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Hi, Cisco. Good afternoon. It's a good day in the markets. It's a risk-on day. Technology's leading the way here, but a number of other sectors are also participating. The S&P 500's up about 1%, and that's really been since the start of the day. A rumor came out early on, and then it was confirmed that China's President Yi and President Trump are going to meet at the G20 and have a discussion on trade. There was a follow-up from Chinese media, however, that this was made at the request of the U.S. and that Beijing has a cautious attitude about breaking this trade deadlock. So obviously the story's not over here, but the market is enjoying it. Bond prices are also up, which means yields down, and there's anticipation that the Fed, when they meet, which is Wednesday, tomorrow, will announce that they're more dovish and more likely perhaps to lower interest rates to boost the economy, which is being negatively impacted by a lot of these tariff and trade issues.
Now, when it comes to the trade, what's an investor to do? Because we get mixed signals day to day. We're just not exactly sure what an end agreement will look like. And I don't think anyone expected it to drag out this long. I think just about everyone expected us to get some sort of a deal sooner.
Oh, I think there was a real expectation that we were extremely close to a deal. I think we were, and I think President Yi of China was the one who scuttled that right towards the end of those negotiations. And unfortunately, he seems very firm in not letting go too much of their trade advantage, the Chinese trade advantage, to the U.S. So I think this is an issue that's going to go on for some time. It's not going to be a quick fix. But the stock market seems to power through that and anticipate an eventual resolution of these trade issues. And we can, I think the market somewhat is hoping for that and anticipating it. I think investors can probably continue to invest as long as this economy doesn't roll over. There is some concern that perhaps we're looking at a slowdown, a recession, perhaps next year, 2020, and that certainly wouldn't be good for the markets. And that's why the Fed is, we think, preparing to perhaps lower interest rates here and help boost the economy a little bit during this slowdown period.
Now, this is sort of interesting to me because we've heard for several years, and I mean, it's people looking at really good data, but we've been hearing for years people saying that, you know, this market, this run, it's going to end. Obviously, all bull runs end at some point. And now we're at a point where data, as you're saying, looks like, yeah, there might actually be a recession on the horizon. But I wonder if a lot of investors have begun ignoring that simply because we've been hearing it for so long and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I think it takes selling to create real selling. And this isn't a market that wants to sell off. We've had, you know, corrections. You know, we certainly, you know, had one back in May last month. But the market just bounced right back again on that anticipation that eventually we'd have a trade deal. A good trade deal, a fair trade deal, is going to be very stimulative, not only for the U.S. economy, but for the global economy, when and if it occurs. So I think it's that anticipation that keeps investors going. But bull markets don't die of old age. There has to be some event that brings a bull market to an end, some type of significant correction, often a recession, and we could be setting ourselves up for that. And that's what I think keeps us a little bit cautious here and not fully invested in stocks, but we're still tilting towards a more stock-oriented approach in most client portfolios.
Do you think the fact that there just aren't very many good alternatives yet, you already mentioned the fact that bond yields are going down, do you think that has something to do with people keeping money in the markets too?
Well, normally it wouldn't. It would scare a lot of stock investors off because it is anticipation of coming economic weakness. But I think this Fed is flexible here, and we think that they are going to not ease rates tomorrow, but the chances of them lowering the Fed funds rate at the end of July, which is their next meeting, right now is calculated at 89% chance. So if the Fed acts fairly quickly, which it sounds like they may do at the end of July, or at least that's what the market thinks, that could really save this economy from lapsing into a recession. And I think that's also keeping investors, stock investors, interested here in the stock market and in companies.
Now, let's ask you about Boeing. They have gotten their first buyer for a 737 MAX since the airplane was grounded. How important is that for Boeing?
Oh, I think it's very important. And, of course, the stock's up over 4% on that news. These are 200 planes that are being ordered. Obviously, they're not going to be delivered right away. This is a long-term order of planes. But it's a real vote of confidence that Boeing is going to fix the problem with its planes and the MAX planes, and that buyers will come in and buy. It's a really good thing for Boeing that this is happening. Of course, they're going to have a lot of litigation in front of them. In the meantime, a lot of it covered by insurance, but still, I think this is a real vote of confidence in Boeing.
Thanks, Tim. Always good analysis. Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Up next, Travel Tuesday, the Dominican Ministry of Tourism reacts to a series of deaths and illnesses involving American tourists.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Hamilton County Tourism. Stories of American tourists in the Dominican Republic becoming ill and even dying are in the headlines. Let's discuss what's going on in the Caribbean country. Joe Brancatelli is joining us, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Joe, these stories at first were sort of a trickle. Now it seems like there's enough of them. There's a serious concern here.
Well, I certainly concerned. People are concerned. But the problem is, Cisco, as you know, especially in our business as journalists, we tend to group everything together as they begin to come in. And that feeds its own narrative. So three people say they get sick and five more people say they get sick and two people die and then three more people die. And suddenly it seems like a mystery. I'm not saying there isn't a cause. I'm just suggesting that maybe we're paying an awful lot of attention to a fairly small country. While we're not comparing it to the death rates, do we know how many people have died in the UK visiting, or Italy, or Japan? We don't normally follow this and assume that there's something, you know, going the wrong way in a country when some Americans die. So I don't know exactly what the truth is.
Yeah, and is that, I guess, maybe part of the problem? You have to wait to really find out what led to these deaths, because they are mysterious. We really don't have a lot of answers yet.
Well, again, mystery in the literal sense that we do not know. There doesn't. I mean, do we put in the fact that Big Papi David Ortiz was shot in a nightclub in the Dominican Republic is part of this? I mean, once you start focusing on one particular country and how Americans are doing, you will find things. The most recent death this week of a man from New Jersey, he reports feeling unwell. The people who were with him the night before and hot. In a hot country, and goes to lie down and is found the next morning dead from what looks like a heart attack. There are other issues, some pulmonary edemas. Someone suggested to me, and this is total speculation, that maybe it has something to do with pesticides that might have gotten into water or something like that. But right now we've got a lot of pieces of string, and it's dangerous to bunch them all together in a ball and say, see, there's a crisis.
Yeah, if you're the Dominican Republic, I mean, tourism is a significant deal for your economy. So they have to be more than a little concerned as this news spreads around the world.
Oh, absolutely. For them, it's a nightmare. This is the only thing they really have going for them economically is tourism. It's similar to the situation in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday when there was a massacre by terrorists. And Sri Lanka's tourism immediately fell by 70%. No one wants to go on a holiday where there's a question, whether it's mysterious deaths, terrorism. People want to go on holiday and feel good, not worry about, you know, things that could possibly go wrong. That's totally understandable.
So what advice do you have? Because there are a lot of other Caribbean destinations, a lot of other places where people can find nice beaches.
I, you know, I, again, I'm an ultimate cynic. Cisco,
I look at the Caribbean and I see a lot of rocks with beaches. That's just my feeling, okay? I don't hear a lot of people going to the Caribbean for culture or for emotional enrichment. It's mostly Americans look at these places as rocks with beaches. If you're uncomfortable going to the Dominican Republic, go somewhere else. Thankfully, most of the damage caused by the hurricanes in the recent years have been solved, so you can even go to Puerto Rico safely now. So, yes, if you're at all uncomfortable, I'm sorry to tell this to the Dominican authorities, there's no reason why you shouldn't book another destination if you feel there's something wrong and you would not be comfortable going to the Dominican Republic right now.
Now, meanwhile, though, Joe, and very quickly here, if you're not concerned about it, maybe you can get some deals as so many other people change their plans.
Well, you know, if victory goes to the swift, the deals go to the counter bookers. When somebody's not booking a destination, the prices do tend to come down. So if you're not worried, book a cheaper vacation in the Dominican Republic. The deals should be coming.
Yeah, very true. Joe Brancatelli, thanks for joining us. Joe, editor and publisher at joesentme.com. Speaking of contrarians, people who go against the grain, Mark Hulbert is going to join us next to talk about Wall Street and what the Fed may do.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Federal Reserve has begun its two-day meeting on interest rates with an announcement due tomorrow afternoon. Let's talk about how to navigate the Fed decision with Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Mark, considering the fact that it seems like the Fed may be moving in a more dovish direction, what are we to do?
Well, looking at past Fed meetings, I found a rather distinct pattern, and that is that the market will have an initial reaction either sharply up or down, and then within maybe 30 to 45 minutes afterwards, decide that perhaps they were wrong and go in the opposite direction. And so I think a real gutsy play might be to wait about 30 minutes after the press release from the meeting that's happening today and tomorrow. Wait for 30 minutes after that press release is released, which I think is going to be at 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And then if the market has moved sharply in a given direction, take the opposite side of the bet. Doesn't work every time, but it's worked more often than not.
Now, if it does and someone does that, how long do they keep it at the opposite side? Because sometimes it pulls back in the other direction pretty quickly.
Well, that's right. And indeed, this is a gutsy play. This is not surefire. It's any short-term trade is going to be high risk. But nonetheless, I think the clear thing is that a lot of times what happens on Wall Street, in fact, it happens almost daily, is that investors will jump first and then think about it later. And I think it's particularly the case with something that is so much in the focus of investors as the Fed's meeting. So don't necessarily get caught up. I guess this perhaps is the secondary lesson to learn, is don't get caught up in whatever is the initial reaction. If there's a lot of euphoria tomorrow after the release, don't necessarily put more money on the bet that it'll continue. But on the same token, if the market plunges in the wake of the press release, then don't bet that the market's going to continue going down either.
Yeah, it's where it's wise to sort of be prepared for that sort of reaction, because there is always a certain percentage of investors that do seem to emotionally react to the news.
Well, that's right. And indeed, people who've been watching the market longer than I have, and I've been watching a long time, will always tell you that our emotions are our worst enemies when it comes to Wall Street and investing in general. So we need to figure out how to pre-plan how we'll react to anything that'll happen rather than react in the moment. And I think something like tomorrow's meeting is a particularly good case in point.
Great insight and advice. Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Thanks for being with us. Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street. Sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is up 343 points, or 1.33%. NASDAQ gaining 1.5%, or 117 points. And the S&P is higher by 29, moving above the 2,900 mark. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 1.25%. An upbeat tweet from President Trump saying he's spoken with his Chinese counterpart and that the two will have an extended meeting next week in Japan sparked those gains. Trade-sensitive companies are among the best performers performers, and that includes Boeing. For a second day now, Boeing is the Dow's biggest gainer. Today, its shares are surging more than 4%. The plane maker has gotten its first orders for new aircraft since the grounding of the 737 MAX. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.